Oh, that was all right. That was very special. It's always special when you worship God, but yeah, it's always special. So good. This morning, I want to share with you on serving a good God in hard times, and I want to look at a psalm with you this morning, Psalm 42, and I just want to unpack and literally just read the psalm and go through a number of things very simply that are in the psalm for us today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mike. I'm one of the pastors or the elders in the congregation, and obviously along with these other guys who help lead. So just before I dive into it, you know, over the last few months, like we've got a lot of stuff happening in the church, right? So church life is if you're part of Josh Gen, you know that we got lots happening. We're sending teams often into different parts of the Cape and different parts of our area. We're doing training. We send teams into the nations. We have weekly home groups. We worship teams that we raise up. We've got a prayer meeting that we run every single morning. Every morning, someone somewhere, there's a home that's open and there's prayer that happens. We have just, what else? Church planning, that's right, which is Tuesday night. Obviously, you've been going. Got church planning that's been happening. We've got there's so much in the life of the church. Also, we've been preaching through a number of things over the last while. We started off with a big focus earlier this year of looking at spiritual gifts and preaching into some of the spiritual gifts, which we're going to carry on in the course of the year as well, looking at the gift of prophecy, just generally looking at spiritual gifts. What are they? We've been looking at hospitality, which actually is also a gift. You know that? The gift of hospitality. But it's something all of us are called to practice, and we had 3 weeks on the gift of hospitality. And you might say, yo, we've got a lot happening. Like, you know, where are we? This is a lot. But no matter what we do, different things that we do every Sunday and in the week, is at the heart of what we want to do is we always want to be grounded in Jesus. That no matter what we do, we're trying to root, I want to be rooted in Jesus and also in his body. And the aim of what we want to do is always to build a healthy church. That is kind of the goal of what we're trying to aim for, to build a church. You know, what's cool about it, we really value the Word of God, and so we love the Word of God. We love the Bible. But and it's the irony is that there's many people I know that call themselves cessationists. You know, they don't believe that the gifts of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit is for today. They believe it's been done away with. We would call them cessationists, that the gifts have ceased. And ironically enough, they really value the Bible. They say all we need is the Bible because God has spoken to us. We don't need prophets anymore. We don't need apostles. We just have the Bible, and that's good enough. And, you know, ironically enough, that if we do believe the Bible, we surely have to believe that what the early church experienced is something that what we can experience. They have the same Holy Spirit then as we have today. And the wonderful thing about the church movement that we're part of is that our aim is to actually see what's written in the New Testament, the good parts, not the bad parts, in terms of there's a lot of fighting and conflict in the New Testament, but that's life. And but the aim is to see where the Holy Spirit moves, and we can have the same today. We can see people raised from the dead. We've seen people healed. We see people coming, turning to the Lord. We see cities changed, towns changed because of the gospel. And we are part of a church that believes that what happened in the book of Acts is livable for us today. That actually we can see it happen in our day. You know that. And if God can use nameless, faceless people, many people that God uses in the New Testament are normal people like you and I. They weren't super spiritual. They didn't have theological degrees. It says of Peter and John that these were unlearned men, it says in Acts, but they could see that they had been with Jesus. And one of the great qualifications to be used by God is that we make sure that we are abiding in him, that we know Jesus, that we walk in the ways of the Lord and in who he is. And I just wanted just to say, you know, that even in all we're trying to do is ultimately we want to be the kind of church that we think we believe that God wants to restore something that we read in the Bible that's for us today. And so, you know, yeah, and I love the fact that God uses just nobodies to tell everybody about somebody. That's what it is. Where till we are, man. I'm just a nobody telling everybody about somebody. So I like that. It wasn't my statement, but I'd heard it somewhere. So we're not trying to build a crowd. That's not our aim. We're not trying to build an event. It's easy to put on an event and to get lots of people to come, but we're trying to build a congregation of people that love God and to journey together and to show the world his love. That is what we're trying to do. But you know, navigating through life is difficult sometimes as a believer. And so we sing about, you know, how our God has overcome, but often in the nitty-gritty, in the day-to-day of life, we face challenges. And it's not always, I'm just going to get some water. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Answer to pray. Let me, just got a frog in my throat. That's an English saying. I don't know if you say that in Afrikaans. A paraki in my mond. Not a frog in my mouth. I can see next to Afrikaans. We did a baptism, a baby dedication a number of years ago in Oudtshoorn, and I spoke about the baby as a prop, a proppie, because I thought he was going to play rugby when he was big. I said, Edie Baba, he's a proppie. He's going to proppie wees. I'm always getting it wrong, so afterwards I learned what it really means. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at, and I'm not going to take long, but on Psalm 42, I want to read just a psalm to us, and I want to bring out 4 points this morning from Psalm 42. And Psalm 42 is a wonderful psalm, and we've been reading the psalms actually in the prayer meeting this morning and a number of things. And it's written by, it says, from the sons of Korah. And these were men that were priests who were set apart to specifically write and to serve God in music and in that type of thing in the temple. And these men wrote the psalm, but as they write it, you can get a kind of indication that life wasn't easy, that things were hard, and they're grappling with very real realities of how do you serve God in the midst of disappointment and suffering. And, you know, we often don't talk about it because we just sometimes feel like, you know, you just have to be thankful and you should never complain, and if you grumble, that's sin. And that's right. If you grumble, it is sin. But sometimes, if you stay grumbling, that's sin. And we find here that even the heading, if you look in your Bible, I think the heading is something to do with, let me just, if you got your Bible, open up with me. But even the heading is a little bit negative if you read Psalm 42. It's like, gee, what's wrong with this guy? He's really depressed. And actually the heading in my Bible says, why are you cast down, O my soul? That's actually the name of the worship song. So this morning we're going to sing, why are you cast down, O my soul? And actually what's interesting with the Psalms is that two-thirds of the Psalms are what they call Psalms of Laments. In other words, they were sung as almost a complaint before God, like singing the blues. They were struggling through difficulty in life, and they're trying to figure out how to worship God in the middle of difficulty. And so he writes here, and it's 11 short verses. I'm going to read all 11 of them, and I'm going to just pick out 4 points for us today of these 11 verses. It says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Or actually what it says in the Hebrew apparently is, when shall I come and see the face of God? When shall I see the face of God? Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me continually, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with a throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts, songs of praise, and a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you so downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and in Hermon. That's not Hermon down the road, Dadi Hermon. It is Hermon in Middle East. From Mount Mizar, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves, they've gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Ish. Let's sing that to the Lord now. Why have you forgotten me? This is what Israel sang as their worship times. Imagine that. We don't often sing those kind of songs, do we? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me continually, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. So there's four things that we want to notice here in the psalm that's for us. The first thing about the psalm is that we see that the writer loves God. So while he is complaining and he's struggling, this man loves God deeply and he's passionate about God. And look how he starts off the psalm in Psalm 1. He says, as the deer pants for flowing streams, my soul pants for you. It longs for you like a deer is longing for the water. A thirsty animal is desperate for water. In the same way, God, I am desperate for you. And he's not desperate for God to necessarily just, you know, give him more stuff. That's not what he's praying. He's desperate for God himself. He's desperate to know the Lord and to actually see the very face of God. And he says things like, I thirst for you. My soul thirsts. There's something in me that is so hungry or thirsty that I want to meet with you, Lord. And isn't that a wonderful picture of someone that loves God? Like, at the end of the day, a believer, someone who's a Christian, is someone who just longs for God. It's not someone who ticks the right boxes and, you know, that's associated with being a Christian. But at the end of the day, if what cuts us and what bleeds out of us must be God. Like, well, why are you a Christian? Man, I just love God. I love him. I thirst for him. I just want to know him. I want to know him so much that I will order my life around him. Whatever he says, I want to do it because Jesus said that for those who love me will obey me. I just want to obey him. Why do you want to obey him? No, because I love him. I thirst for him. And I love this about this is that he desires to come and to see the face of God. And just a reminder for us again that our devotion to the Lord is what sets us apart before anything else of what makes us Christians. That God, he wants us to love him because of his love for us. And I love the fact that he says, I thirst for God. Sometimes we don't thirst for God. Often there's times where I'm very satisfied in God, where there's times where I don't really feel like serving or loving the Lord. I'll be honest. And often in those times, I've got to actually say to the Lord, Lord, would you put in me a hunger and a thirst for you? I just pray that prayer. And if you are here this morning and you are feeling self-satisfied, you don't really thirst for the Lord. Ask him. Say, Lord, put in me a thirst for you. Make me thirsty. It's as simple as that. And watch and see what God would do. Make me thirsty. That's number one. Number two, not only is the writer loving God, but although he loves God, he's going through a really hard time. Things are tough, man, if you look at this. Look what he says in verse 3. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. So he wants rivers of living water. He wants the life of God, but all he's got are his tears. And he's weeping. Something's happened to him that's caused him to find great anguish. And clearly there are people that are accusing him and saying, oh, you call yourself a believer, where is your God? Look what he says in verse 5. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And literally what it means that why are you downcast or depressed? Why are you down? And he literally was feeling like there was this heaviness on him and he was struggling to, in his love for God, he was struggling to find just what he needed in the Lord. And the situation that he was in was difficult. And you know, sometimes for Christians, depression is a very real thing. And sometimes I think in our church, we're pretty open about that kind of thing. I know there are people that have struggled with that. And the wonderful thing of even talking about it brings healing and bringing into the light. Never feel ashamed. Even the psalmist, I mean, this is in the Bible, for goodness sake. And he says, man, I'm depressed. I need God. And he's honest about that. And I love the fact that as a church, we can be accountable to one another and we can often share how we're feeling. And we're not going to say, well, just get over yourself. You know, you shouldn't be down or depressed. You're a believer. If you say that, I want to say, and you're saying that to someone else, I want to say, shame on you. Because he writes it in the Psalms. There's a place to confess, if you're weak, that we've got to confess our weakness. So let me ask you this question. When last did you confess your weakness, maybe to another believer that can pray for you and that you be vulnerable? I mean, this guy is so vulnerable that he writes it down as a song that the Jews sang. That's how vulnerable he was. And there's times to be vulnerable, even to say, Lord, I'm struggling. Look what he says in verse 7. He says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Now, what he's saying here, he's saying, I am feeling overwhelmed. I'm like the waves of life have crashed over me, and I just feel like I'm sinking, I'm drowning. Lord, all your breakers have gone over me. Lord, but deep cries to deep. And it's interesting, this language, if you look at the book of Jonah, Jonah is the prophet, and he gets swallowed by a whale. And if you know the story, Jonah is in a very difficult place. He's literally in the belly of a whale. And you know what he does in the belly of the whale? He was moaning and complaining to God. He's upset that God wouldn't want to use him in a certain way. And he's angry. And in the midst of it, he's in the belly of the whale. And he begins to praise God and thank God in the belly of the whale. And he actually uses this language where he says the same language. He says, but all your breakers and waves have gone over me. In other words, I was overwhelmed. But Lord, I'm sitting in the belly of the whale. I better start to praise you. But he speaks about this overwhelming sense by circumstance that's come over him. Look what he says as well in verse 9. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? So, and so the point is this, friends, is that for those of us who love the Lord, loving God doesn't mean make you immune to hard times. Loving God doesn't mean that God will remove hard times from you. In fact, the promise is often if you walk in the things of God, he promises you that suffering comes in the name of Jesus. That's what the New Testament speaks about. The Christian, but the good news is that God brings us through, as you'll see this morning is what we do. But number two is that the writer clearly is going through a hard time and he's honest about it. Number three, that frog doesn't want to leave. Dadi para. Okay. Number three, the writer reminds himself of God's character in the hard times. That's the third thing that we find about the son of Korah, that he doesn't just stop and, you know, if he stops at number two and says, oh, life is hard, Lord, where are you? You've forgotten me. And he just ends there. You know, he's staying at Grumble Kopi, as someone once said, but he's working his way to Praise Mountain. But right now he's on Grumble Kopi. If he stays there, there's something wrong. But because he serves the living God who hears his prayers, he trusts God enough to complain to God and to pour out his soul to the Lord. And look what he does then in number three is he begins to remind himself of God's character in hard times. Look what Psalm 42 verse 5 says, the second part, verse 5, just the second part. It says, why are you downcast on my soul? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation. He says in verse 8, and he reminds himself, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And this is a sign of maturity in the Lord. This is a sign of Christian character, of someone that when you're in your darkest time and it's difficult, you're reminding yourself of who God is. God, your love is steadfast. God, you are merciful. God, you've come and you are my song in the night. And when you remind yourself of these, God comes through and he redeems. And there's this wonderful story that I want to share with you that Billy Graham, the evangelist, once shared. I'm just going to read it to you. And Billy Graham told the story of how once in Scotland, there were these sports fishermen. And so they were fishing for sport, in that sense. And when they were fishing that evening, these fishermen went to an inn or a hotel for dinner. One of the fishermen, in describing the size of the fish that got away, threw open his arms. And as he threw open his arms to describe how big the fish was this big. You know how fishermen go. And there was a lady walking past carrying a tray full of hot tea, English tea, scones and butter and jam. And as he, this big, he knocked the tray, and the tray went flying. This beautiful old inn in Scotland on one of the lakes and went flying against the wall and stained this beautiful wallpapered wall that you find in those parts of the world. Stained it, just tea all over the wall. You know, bits of jam like running down. And he just felt terrible, like, oh no, what have I done? And a few moments later, another man got up and he had a Kirky pen. Or like a felt pen, and he got up with a pen, and this is a true story, and he started drawing around the stain that was on the wall. And he started drawing a beautiful picture, and the picture was a magnificent royal stag with antlers that were spread out, like you know what a stag is, and it's this beautiful deer with the antlers that were spread out. And they realized that in the hotel at that time, the man that did the drawing was none other than Sir Edward Landseer, Great Britain's most foremost painter of animals. And he used the moment, the mistake, to draw this amazing picture. And apparently, if you go into that inn today, against the wall, along with the stain, there's this drawing of this antler, of this deer, that has been drawn out into the wall. And the point of the story is this, is that God can take your worst mistake, your worst kinds of sins, when you think you've blown it, and he takes the marker of his Holy Spirit and he begins to draw in his purposes in the midst of your life. He's redemptive. And when you think, God, I've just made a mess of things, you know, I've become boastful and proud, or you just made stupid mistakes, God comes and he works in his glory and his purposes, and he works in his son Jesus into your life. Isn't that wonderful? And I love this story because it shows that the God that we serve, we can have hope. And this is why when he reminds himself of God's character, God is the only one that can take these things and work out something beautiful out of it. That's why he says in the Psalms that, therefore, I hope in God. He hopes in God. And so that's number three. He reminds himself of the character of God in tough times because of what God can do. And lastly, the writer chooses to praise God in the midst of everything. He makes a choice not only to remind himself of God's promises, but he chooses to praise God. And I love this in verse 11. He doesn't stay on Grumble Kopi, as someone once said. He goes to Praise Mountain, man. He's making a choice. I'm not going to stay there. And he moves on. Look what it says in verse 11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. And so the Christian life is always, every day, isn't it? It's a choice. Today, Lord, I'm going to praise you. In the midst of fearful circumstance, the waves of they're coming against me, God. I feel fearful. I feel, Lord, are you going to break through? But yet, I'll put my hope in God. I will praise him, my salvation and my God. And this is such a simple psalm, but it reminds us that we serve a good God in hard times. And we always need reminding of this. And when I want to encourage you, read the Psalms. Sometimes if you don't have words to say to the Lord, open up a psalm and read it to the Lord, because it gives words to sometimes how we're feeling. And it enables us to overcome and to be rooted in the Lord and grounded in him, to follow him and love him and serve him. And so I'd like to pray for us this morning, just that we would lay hold of this Lord and afresh just be encouraged in our God. It's already been such a good morning, man, just to savor him and enjoy him. But I'd like to pray for us, so come, let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Love you, Lord. Let's just settle our hearts before him this morning. Just settle your heart and just have a posture of just resting in him, surrendering to him. Yes, Lord. Lord, this morning we thank you as we have worshipped, as we broke bread, as we look at your word. We thank you overwhelmingly that you are good, that you have steadfast love, that we can hope because our hope is in God. You're the living God. And you are able, Lord, to break through in our circumstance, and you're also able to bring us through our circumstance, to bring us to the other side. Lord, whatever way you choose to do it, we want to say this morning, we will choose to put our praise into the Lord. We will choose to worship you and honor you and love you because you're worth it. Oh God, we need you. Lord, we want to pray this morning, give us a deeper thirst for you. Make us hungry for you. Make us thirsty to know and to love you in what we do, oh God. And I just want to pray just firstly for maybe you're here this morning and you, maybe you feel very far from God. You feel like, man, you are so far away from the Lord. But you know that you want to, you know that God is calling you and drawing you. And the Bible says that you have to turn away from your sin and put your trust in Jesus, just to actually make a decision to say, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you this morning. And maybe I want to give you, we want to give you an opportunity this morning that if you are not in a good place, maybe you don't even know, you think, Lord, I don't even think I'm a Christian. I don't even think if I die that I'm going to go to heaven. Lord, I need to know you. And if that's you this morning and you'd like us to pray for you specifically, you want to get right with God. The only way you can get right with God is not by trying better. You can't try harder. All you have to do is to surrender to Christ and to say, Jesus, be my Lord. Would you come and draw over the mess of my life? I've made a mess, but would you come and make it right? And so I do want to give an opportunity. Is there anyone like that this morning? If it is you, just I'd ask you to do something by quickly raising your hand. Say, Mike, that's me. I'd like you to pray for me. Is there anyone that wants to respond to the Lord? You want to give your life to Christ. Okay. Lord, we thank you just for a friend who's responded at the back. Is there anyone else? Okay. I think just, I know it's more of just a recommitment and we want to pray for you as well now. I think just, also want to pray for if you're feeling this morning, like maybe you're feeling like the waves of breakers have gone over you and you're like, Lord, I feel like I need to put my hope in God afresh and you just need some faith and encouragement. Is anyone feeling like that this morning? Just raise your hand. You feel like you just need some grace. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Yeah. Then where you are, just keep your hand raised where you are. Just where you're seated, just keep your hand raised. And I'm just going to ask maybe just gently someone just around you, just to put their hand on you. Just maybe some of the folk in the church, just gently put your hand on those folk whose hands are raised. We're just going to pray for you. Let's just pray for those folk. Anyone else who just, we're going to pray for? I'm just going to pray a prayer. But you know, these are powerful. Don't neglect. This is God breaking in. And I'm not raising my voice this morning. I'm doing it in a very gentle way. But let's not underestimate the power of God. So anyone else who needs prayer this morning, if that is you, just get your hand up and we can get someone to just put their hand on you. Okay. So Father, let's just pray. Father, we pray for those that are in a place right now where they are needing the hope of God, where they are needing the grace of Jesus. Lord, we want to lift them before you and we thank you, Lord, that you haven't forgotten them. That even though they might feel this morning that, where are you? God, have you forgotten me? Like the psalm says. But we know, Lord, that even as the psalmist had to remind himself that you were there, that you were with him, that you were their song in the night. And we want to pray that for those that you would be their song in the night, that they would begin to remember you in the night, that even in the dark places, Lord, that a song of praise would well up in their hearts right now. And there would be something of the grace of God breaking in and enabling just your a faith to well up, Lord, to put to hold on to you and to see you break through, Lord. And so, God, we want to stand with our brothers and sisters this morning. We want to stand with them and trust for just a just breakthrough, Lord God. We want to pray this morning just for within them just a sense of a revival, a breath of wind of your Spirit breaking in over them. Lord, we ask this, Father, in the name of Jesus. We ask this of you, Lord. Come, Lord, we pray for a miracle. For those that are trusting you for a miracle, we say, why not, Lord? God, why not? Lord, those that are needing the impossible done, God, why not? You can do it, Lord. And we want to stand and agree together that you would come and do these things, Lord. Oh, Father, and bring them through. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.
I just felt something while sitting there. It's just, as Mike started off, he spoke about the many things that we are doing in our midst and things like that. And I think one of the things that we're doing on Wednesday evening is community. And the Bible speaks about he puts the lonely into family. And I think many of us are visiting, and many of us have visited maybe for a month or two. But I want to say that God wants to put us into family. And you, if you're not a part of a community or a cell group that it is called, I want to encourage us that we will form a part of this family, because that is where life is happening. That is where we encourage one another, where we get together. So I want to encourage you, if you're not in a community, come check here in front. I've just had my eye on it the whole morning. Come see where you can come apart, approach those people and say, I want to visit you this week, because God wants to put you amongst people that can care for you and walk the road with you. And I want to say you can't do it alone. I can't do this alone, Mike can't do this alone, and not one of us can do this alone. So to be together with a family that can support and take us further.
Yeah, very good. So, I mean, if you do look on the board, this wasn't meant, but it's just helpful as a practical handle. So especially that good-looking guy, there's one specific really good single guy there on that list. Oh, no, he's not single anymore. He's engaged. I mean, technically, okay. Technically engaged. Okay, let's pull it back. Let's get it back. All right. So, Lord, we thank you for this morning, and pray that as we go from here this week, that we want to press into you, and also to one another, as we walk this journey out in you, Lord. Give us joy on the journey to remember and to honor this great God, in Jesus' name. So, friends, there's tea and coffee. It's a nice warm hangout. We're in no rush. And let's just spend some time together. Otherwise, have a wonderful week. I'm sure we'll see many of you in the week. Amen.